it seems, to have a dream, to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to the Rise Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Dick, and this is the show about bakers and bakeries and bakery owners and all the folks that work so hard, often through the night, to make the good stuff and to share it with the people in their community. How are you doing this week? Shout out to those of you in the Canadian prairies in Alberta and Saskatchewan that are already dealing with forest fires and smoke from forest fires, that kind of thing. My heart goes out to you. It sounds like it's going to be a pretty wild year if by mid-May we're already talking about smoke problems and pollution problems from forest fires. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're hanging in there. I hope that doesn't make the bakery completely unbearable. It gets hot enough working in bakeries this time of year, especially in the northern half of the world. And if you're dealing with smoke and that kind of thing, it's no fun. So I hope you're hanging in there. Hope you're staying healthy. Today on the show, I have a really, really fun talk with someone who I've been a fan of for a long, long time. It's Maurizio Leao, the founder of the Perfect Loaf website, the author of the Perfect Loaf cookbook. He's a baker, he's a blogger, he's a heck of a good photographer, and he's a very good teacher. And I was super excited to finally get a chance to talk to Maurizio. And that's coming up in a couple of minutes. Actually, the only thing in between now and the talk is some shout outs, because I still need to say hi to a few folks that I've met over the last couple of weeks in the baker world. Shout out to Nav from Vancouver, who I met at the bakery showcase last week. She came up after the panel that we ran and we had a nice little chat. She's doing great things on the mainland, and it was nice to meet her, and she listens to the show, and that's always a thrill when you meet someone that listens to the show. Got to give a shout out to Jeff and to Martha from Martha's Delectables, who make some really fine shortbread here in Victoria. They were also at the showcase last week, and we had a good chat and a bit of a visit. The folks at Ooh La La Cupcakes in Victoria, new ownership there. I got to go check it out and see what they're up to. But they were at the showcase, and we had a really good chat about what it's like to take over an existing business and the pace at which you make changes and maybe don't make changes, and bring the existing regulars along, that kind of a thing. So I'm going to try and get them on the show soon, and we can chat about that and how they're dealing with that fun challenge. Want to say hi to Hattie and Juliana, two amazing bakers at Working Culture Bread here in Victoria. Last time I was up, Adam dragged him over. They were working hard, and he dragged him over and said, you need to meet these two folks, Mark, because they listen to the show and they want to meet you. And that was pretty cool. You know, honest to goodness, I know numerically that people listen to this show, but it's a whole other thing when I actually see this human being listens to the show. That's pretty cool to me, and it never gets old. Plus, they're pretty darn good bakers. Working Culture makes some amazing stuff. So hi to Hattie and Juliana. It was nice to meet you, and I will see you again soon, because I'm short a loaf and I'm feeling lazy, so I'm going to go buy one. What else? Having a few website issues with riseuppod.com. If you can't get to the site, don't worry. It's being actively worked on, and hopefully it will be small changes that fix this. I didn't make any changes, but allegedly, there's no problem other than nobody can get to the website. Although it seems that the feed to podcast apps still work, which is why you're able to listen to this, even if the site's not working. But when the site's up again, I will let you know. Gee whiz, got to be by next week's show for sure. All right, on to the talk with Maurizio. This is so much fun. Like I say, I've been a fan of his right back to when we had Orange Boot Bakery. You know, right to the earliest days of his blog. You know, when I teach classes, I usually say to folks, these are the books you need to read. You know, and I say, like, the best book in English about baking bread is Jeffrey Hamelman's book. It's just the best. And the best book with pictures was always Lionel Vatney's book, because it had good explanations and really good photos. And then I would say, but if you really want to understand sourdough and the feeding process, and you know, I'm showing you this, but we're doing it under a compressed timeline, you got to go to the Perfect Loaf website. And I would share a link to a couple of Maurizio's posts and say, look at the pictures here. This guy can explain things. He can show it through pictures. He can describe it in words. He's a genius at this. And I felt that for a very long time. And so, you know, right there, from my own perspective anyways, he's in very, very good company. You know, what he's doing online is right up there with what Jeffrey did in print and what Lionel did in print, in my opinion. And so I was actually kind of a little bit nervous or a little bit intimidated talking with him, because he truly is a hero of mine from the point of view of being an amazing creator and a great writer. But we had a really good talk. I don't think I let the fanboy thing affect it too much. So here we go. A great talk about baking and about creativity and writing and all the stuff that I love with Maurizio Liao of The Perfect Loaf. It's super nice to meet you.
Likewise.
It really is. I've been a fan for a long, long time of the blog and all of that. I used to teach when we had our retail bakery back, it would be about 2015. And then I was teaching classes like with the community association and that kind of thing, you know, just like little home baker classes. And I always recommended your blog as the place to go when we were talking sourdough because of the quality of the photos. I said, like, you know, we could talk about it and stuff, and you're a heck of a good writer, but it's like, you want to see starter. And there is one post I linked to like 50 times, I swear, where it's like, it's just all the progressions of starter maturity and stuff. And I thought, oh, this guy's got it going on.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And I mean, likewise, I've been listening to the podcast for a long time. It kind of, you know, I know it's more of like a professional, you know, bakery, you know, person in a bakery or individual that owns a bakery. And it always kind of inspired me, like, one day, you know, I'm going to own a bakery one day and, you know, kind of step in those shoes. So it's been inspiring.
Yeah. So I was checking out your blog and stuff. You're sort of the patron saint of high altitude baking a little bit as well at Albuquerque. So are you still in Albuquerque? In New Mexico?
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're about a mile up.
Okay.
So it's pretty high up here. And, you know, I'd say that's probably some of the most frequent questions I get is like, how do I adjust for high altitude, or the opposite? You know, I live at sea level. How do I adjust for being at sea level? So I try to use my experience there to help people, because it's challenging. I don't know if you were at sea level, right?
I am now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. It's like I've never factored that into any of the challenges I'm having, but I'm finding my results are different here than when I was on the prairies, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people write in because some people have been like in Taos here in New Mexico, which is about 7,000 feet.
Oh, wow.
You know, they've got a whole nother, it's like you go through these thresholds as you're climbing in altitude.
Yeah.
And so I try to help there, but yeah, it absolutely changes things, not just with, you know, long fermented bread, but, you know, with cakes and, you know, those.
Things too. Huh. And see, that's, you know, being up here in Canada, I never equated New Mexico to height, you know, but yeah, that's so interesting, you know, because you always think, I think of Denver and that's it, you know, but it's like, yeah, there's the mountain range goes a little further.
Yeah. We call it the high desert because it's,
sure,
you know, we're high up and out and super arid and dry. Yeah. So it's, I mean, if you want to have challenging baking conditions, probably Albuquerque is a good place for you.
Sounds beautiful though. Like, you know, I know that, like, especially around Taos, that's quite the historical community for like writers and artists and that kind of thing.
It is. It's inspiring. Like the dry weather, it can get extreme at points, but it has benefits. You kind of, you know, you don't have mildew everywhere. And especially with baking, like my baking baskets that I'm proofing my dough, I don't have to do anything to remove the moisture.
Yeah.
But on the other end of things, you know, I've got to cover my dough and keep it, you know, moist. Yeah. So, but yes, the landscape is beautiful. It's sunny, I think 310 days out of the year. And so anytime you want to do something outside, you can pretty much bet that you'll be able to do it.
I'm really curious, I guess, what got you into baking? And I guess maybe what I'm more curious about is what got you into sort of blogging and talking about it and sharing your adventure?
Well, I went to school for computer science. So, you know, I'm an engineer by kind of training. And so I've always worked on computers and I've always kind of dabbled. I mean, I can remember back in high school when computers really were becoming available mainstream. Like I didn't have one at home, but I had one at school. And I remember I would stay after to just poke around and, you know, visit, you know, websites back then, which was really just a page of text kind of deal. But I always was kind of fascinated with the internet just at large, but also the ability to learn anything you want immediately. I think even now it's even more extreme now. I mean, you can just watch an hour long YouTube video on something and you can be proficient enough to actually do it.
But back then, any topic at all, right? Like just anything you can think of. Yeah. It's out there. Yeah.
It's amazing. And back then, you know, so I was always working on websites and back then it was, my interests were other things like playing soccer. So I had a website about Italian soccer teams. And I was just playing around, you know, I was learning the ins and outs of the internet and how to make a page. So I'd say, well, this was in about 2012, 2013. You know, I had been in engineering doing computer science stuff for a good 8-10 years. And I kind of serendipitously got exposed to sourdough baking. I grew up in the food industry. My parents owned an Italian restaurant here in Albuquerque. So kind of grew up at the restaurant. Yeah. And I was always exposed to, you know, watching my dad make pizza. I worked at the restaurant, you know, during the summers kind of thing. And I think our trips back to Italy to visit family, you know, that plus my engineering side, it was kind of this like perfect storm of, okay, I want to learn how to make bread. There's not a lot of good material out there. There has to be other people who are interested in making sourdough. It's challenging, especially if you haven't gone through any kind of apprenticeship or you haven't taken any courses. I worked at home because I was an engineer. So it was kind of this perfect situation for me to really fall in deep and also have the time and the ability to stay at home and like kind of run these experiments that I was doing. And then I wanted to share it with others. I figured if I was at home trying to learn this thing, there had to have been other people out there. And that's really why I started the website.
Yeah. Yeah. There really seems to be software developers and sharing what you learn seems to be like a very natural thing. Cause like I grew up in the software business as well in an earlier career. And I really noticed it back then. It's like everybody was chucking up blogs and here's how I figured out how to do this thing. I'm hacking around with a website right now. And it's like, oh, I need, you know, Google it. And it's like, well, here's 15 people that are writing about the exact same thing, you know, and sharing what they know. And it's just almost like a natural thing. And yeah. I'd forgotten about that until just the last couple of weeks. It's like, oh yeah. You know, it's like it's sort of like, oh yeah, it makes sense. Well, if you're going to figure something out and you know, you seem to have like the analytical mind enough to say, okay, let's do experiments. Let's actually figure out what's going on here and be able to explain it to other people. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think I've always had kind of a knack for like deconstructing things.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd venture to say that, yes, I definitely have kind of an engineer's mindset where I like to, you know, break things apart, solve smaller problems, then put the smaller problems back together, or, you know, analyze things from like first principles, that kind of thinking. But I would say I've also been able to, throughout my software career, and you know, I used to be a soccer coach for a little while, and you know, there were these things through my life where I think have kind of built up this skill for me to translate some things that can be complicated into, you know, like, you know, everyday language that people can kind of learn from and easily kind of absorb and digest.
Yeah. And do you enjoy the writing part of it?
I have to say, I think the writing part is probably one of my favorite parts. Yeah. I've always been kind of a writer, and I think it's a skill that people are losing these days. I feel like everybody wants to do video or, you know, something, some kind of short form thing. But I really feel like when you read somebody's writing, it's almost like you're living through what they're doing. I'm a huge, you know, reader. I read tons of books, you know, fiction, nonfiction, biographies, everything. And there's a sense of absorption that you get when you read something that you don't really get when you do video. And I think, you know, video and pictures are absolutely fantastic, especially for baking. You really need to know, you know, where are your hands? What does the dough look like? What does it feel like? But I think in terms of inspiration and putting yourself in somebody else's shoes, I think there's just no other way to do it than reading somebody's writing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can go back and reread and find that spot I find when I'm, you're exactly right. Like, it's sort of like 10 seconds of video can solve a lot of problems. It's finding those 10 seconds, you know, whereas, and then rewind that. I want to see that again. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. I think each has its place. I think, you know, video is super powerful. And then, you know, who knows, in the next 10 to 20 years, virtual reality might, you know, supplant video.
Yeah.
So I think there's always a place for that, but in my opinion, there's no replacing the writing. And I love crafting a narrative around food and what, you know, the feelings that I get when I eat certain things. It's part of my upbringing. And I think my Italian heritage really kind of leans into that. And so it's definitely one of the things I enjoy.
Yeah. When you first started the Perfect Loaf site and that in the early days, when did it kind of hit you that, like, this is taking off, or were you sort of surprised by the response? Because how long did it take before it got really popular? Because I think by the time I learned about it, it was already extremely popular.
Yeah, it's been around. Today's actually the 10th, well, not today, this year is the 10th anniversary. So I've had it for a good decade that I've been writing there. As it is the case with most websites, I think it's a very slow growing thing. So I'd say only recently did I ever really truly appreciate how many people use the site. Maybe for the first like 5-6 years, I would say I was writing, and it was just a labor of love. It was like, I'm so interested in sourdough. I want to have an outlet for me to share the things I'm working on. And then there were people commenting, and I formed these like early relationships with those people. And that kind of spurred me on, I think, and gave me the motivation to keep with it. But I think the first time that I truly appreciated and understood just how widely used the Perfect Loaf was when I was taking a professional baking course with Jeffrey Hamelman in Seattle, or sorry, up in Washington. And I showed up at the class, and it was for professional bakers. So first I emailed Jeffrey and I said, "Hey, is it appropriate that I even come here? Because I'm a home baker, even though I've been baking for a long time." So anyways, I went to the class, and we were going around introducing ourselves. And I said, you know, everybody was like, "You know, my name is so-and-so. I work for, you know, this bakery up in over here." And this other person was like, "Oh, I own this bakery, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Oh boy, I don't own a bakery. I don't work in a bakery." And so I introduced myself and I said, "You know, I'm Maurizio, and I don't work in a bakery, but I do run the Perfect Loaf." And everybody in the class was like, "Oh, wow, you're that guy? You're the bread guy?" And so I think that was the first real realization. And, you know, that was in like 2018. So it really wasn't that long ago. I was like, wow, okay, so I guess people are really using my formulas. And, you know, everybody in the class knew of me in some way. And I think it really took from like 2012, 2013 to 2018 before I started to really appreciate how widely dispersed it was.
Yeah. Well, because I think that's like, that's the thing. It doesn't surprise me at all. If I was there, I'd be right in with the others going, holy crow, there he is. Because there's so much value even for the pros to hear someone that can actually articulate what we're seeing, you know, and it's like, in a way that's shareable, like I mentioned already, like the number of times I gave customers of mine links to the site saying like, here, this explains it better than I can, you know, and we do right. that all the time. Like, we're always like curious about how other people are doing things or how other people see the same thing, you know, sort of how you see the problem and how you frame it and stuff. So yeah, that's fascinating to me. Yeah. I'm glad that you got that response from folks. It must have felt pretty good.
It did. And I, you know, it's one thing to be, you know, to win like an internet award for your site or whatever. But I think the comments that I cherish the most, I think, are from other bakers who are like yourself. Like, you know, just the fact that you'd share my site with other bakers, that means a lot to me, because it signifies that, you know, not only am I presenting the material in the right way, but I have a lot of posts at my site and a lot of writing, but I try to keep it as condensed as possible mm-hmm. to be as actionable as possible. And I think it's hard to do that. You know, as a writer, you kind of want to write and write and write. But for me, I've learned over the past, you know, 10 years, it's like the more that I can cut from my writing, the better, because you're kind of distilling things down to the essence. So when people share it, it's just a sign for me that I'm kind of on the right track.
Yeah. Do you find 10 years in, it's easier to add to the blog, or is it a challenge to say, okay, what's another angle do I take here? Like, it's already been said, or.
Right. That's a great question. I don't think anybody's asked me that. That's a great question. My feeling is, it hasn't ever gotten harder. Like, I don't ever sit down and I'm like, wow, I really need a topic today. And I think that is one of the reasons why I love sourdough baking so much, is that, and I wrote this in my cookbook, there's so many avenues for discovery. Every step of the process can be expanded out into like an infinite number of things to pay attention to. And one of the things I've learned is that as you practice a craft and you become proficient at it, just through sheer repetition, you get this ability to kind of slow down and step back and inspect parts of the process that you wouldn't have seen before. You know, it's like lifting the cover on your hand motions, how the dough feels, and it's that attention that you put on these little minute things that really add up to being proficient in the craft mm-hmm. in the long run. So I wouldn't say it gets harder, and I don't think it becomes any easier. It's just, you know, it's just one of the things. I sit down and I'm like, okay, what do I think somebody can benefit from when I'm writing? What's a part of the process that I haven't really analyzed and people are asking questions about? And actually that's another important thing, is that people write in their questions to me and I try to reply to as many people as possible. And it gives me ideas for what people are struggling with. And a lot of times it's the same things, but every once in a while I'll get questions where it's like, wow, you know, I have not dug into that topic yet. And that's an area I can explore.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get that feedback cycle going, and it's just keep adding to the list, right?
I've got a huge backlog that's of articles.
That's actually awesome. You know, right. It's just the discipline of sitting down and doing it. Oh, I guess the photography side of things, has that also been a passion of yours? Because you seem to be very, very good at it. I like the photos on your blog are both excellent, but also extremely helpful. Like I find, you know, it's that really nice balance of, you know, the visual and the words and stuff. Is that something you've always been kind of into, or did you have to learn for this?
It definitely did take some learning. I've always been interested in photography, so mostly it was travel photography, or there's just always been something about photography that I've loved. And even in my software career, I was partly a designer, so I would design user interfaces, and so I think I have a pretty keen eye for design and making things aesthetically pleasing. So I have had those skills that I draw from. I would say in terms of food photography, it really is like it's another beast compared to, street photography or travel photography. So I definitely had to learn there. I think I'm kind of lucky in that, like my wife makes fun of me all the time because I bake a loaf of bread and I'm like, stop for a minute. Look at how amazing this bread is. It's just like, what's the deal, I have this, some people will call it weird. Some people might say I'm a strange person, but there's just something really beautiful about a loaf of bread when it's baked just the right way. Mm-hmm. And I've just never lost that. And it happens, frequently. And then I run and grab my camera and I take a picture of it. But I had to develop the skills for lighting, for the technical parts of still photography in kind of like a, I don't want to say I have a studio, but like a studio type setting. So that was key. And, hearing you say that I have a good balance between those, kind of glossy photos, if you will, and the instructional photos, that means a lot because I try to have that balance. I want to put up photography that's inspiring because I feel like when you see a picture of something that you want to make, it makes you, just want to rush into the kitchen and start doing it. So I feel like part of the thing with my website is that it's inspirational and I want to get people, hey, he baked that loaf of bread. I can do this with his instruction in my kitchen. And then as you read through the post, the photography starts to turn towards instructional, this mm-hmm. is where your hands need to be. This is what the dough should look like. And I draw on those comments and questions that people send me and my experience over the years to try to show the right thing at the right time as you're reading through the post.
Yeah. Well, and it's neat to hear you say that because I know, we did our own product shots at the bakery and that, and it was never something that I figured out. Like I look back at it, years later now, because I've still got the photos and it's sort of like, there's always something in the background or there's no contrast between my, you're taking a picture of a brown loaf on a brown workbench and it's like, oh man, you could have fixed that up, whereas you've got like, contrast and how cool is that?
So, you definitely learn, the more you do it. And, especially, maybe 10 years ago, when I think I might've been one of the few people on Instagram that was actually posting bread. And I think people were like, what's the deal with this bread on Instagram?
Yeah.
And there was a small group of us that was a hardcore, posting mm-hmm. photos. And over the 10 years, we've kind of learned how to take better pictures. And I mean, the whole population at large, I think, is now getting more proficient at these skills.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to ask you about that because you're right. Like you started and you were well into this long before COVID, but certainly 2020 and 2021, like just saw this explosion of home bakers baking with sourdough, or at least talking about it, on Instagram and stuff. It seemed like everything just shot up by a factor of 10. Did you notice that shift as well? Like when COVID hit, more and more people are coming to you?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was, it was like night and day, like literally one morning I woke up and I, sat down to start writing and I looked at my inbox and it was like just overflowed with emails. Yeah. And Instagram too, my follower account, shot up. And I think it kind of awoke this, and it's not just, sourdough baking. I mean, that was also like gardening and there were so many other kind of home-based things that people got into, but it really kind of woke up this idea for people, I think, to make their own food. They can have healthy stuff. People were stuck at home. So it was like this perfect storm of things that happened to allow people to actually, bake bread at home. And I think social media and, you know, websites and things and those propelled it forward even more. And there was information out there. I mean, imagine if the pandemic had hit like 10 to 15 years ago, what would people have done? They probably would have gone to the store and bought books because there was stuff online, but there wasn't any concise information. There wasn't like a go-to place for people to learn. But yes, absolutely. I saw this huge influx of people who had never baked before, just a million questions. And I was doing my best to kind of answer and help as many people as I could.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and it just gets me thinking about how that time, just sort of the therapeutic nature of having a handcraft when you're stuck at home.
Yeah.
And it's like, and if you don't, but like you say, whether it's gardening or cooking or sewing or whatever the craft is, just keeping your mind and your hands busy so you're not going stir crazy in those first days, for sure.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, I mentioned I'm a software engineer and I work at home. I've been working at home for over 10 years.
Wow.
And it's one of the reasons why I started baking is because I was here and sitting alone in a room writing software. There wasn't even like Slack back then or video. And there really wasn't like video conferencing and things. It was isolating. And I was like, you know, I need to do something with my hands. And I just got lucky. I got super lucky that bread kind of re-entered my life, let's say, at that time. So,
yeah. And so how did the cookbook project come about?
The cookbook was, it actually started, my editor contacted me in 2019. So it was right before the pandemic had happened. It's funny because I actually had Google was here filming me baking at home, and I was running out between takes to talk to the editor and you know, try to work out a deal. And I had been approached a couple times before that, and I politely declined because I knew how much it would take to write a book on, especially on sourdough, which I think is it's a pretty comprehensive topic. And I declined back then because the publishers that reached out, they didn't really have the vision I was looking for. I didn't think I was ready, you know, time-wise for an investment like that. And it felt like the right time when Clarkson Potter reached out to me. And that was the publisher I had secretly been always hoping would reach out to me. Cause all of the cookbooks that I love, like all of Alice Waters books and, you know, some of my favorite cookbooks were published by Clarkson Potter. So I was like, okay, this is somebody who I'd want to work with. And then my editor was amazing. She had the same vision for the book that I did. And so everything just really aligned there. I still think I greatly underestimated the amount of work that it would take to write the book. It was supposed to actually be out a year before it actually came out last year. But I'm going to blame it all on the pandemic because it really, I mean, that was a serious undertaking during that time with, I have two kids here at home and I was schooling them and doing the book.
And serving an ever-growing community at the same time, right? Like that's going to take it too.
Right. I was, for the past, you know, I guess then 8 years, I had prided myself on always publishing, you know, not at a strict cadence, but just always, you know, writing on something new and keeping new articles coming out and new things I was working on, new recipes. So I did. I tried to keep all of those things going. And I didn't even announce anything with my cookbook until I want to say like middle of last year. So it was kind of done, you know, in secret, not for any real reason, just because I was just working on it really outside of normal living hours. I would wake up really early before my kids got up, would start writing, do all the day stuff, and then stay up late and continue to write. But it was an incredible process. I probably learned even more about bread, actually having, even though I do it kind of on a daily basis, having to actually sit down, carve out a set of recipes that I really wanted to be in this thing. And then it's funny how much you learn about something you're doing when you actually have to sit down and put pen to paper.
Yeah.
On every single part of the process. And I thought I had done that. It was my website. It had been 8 years, but there are obviously gaps that I had to fill in. So yeah, I learned a lot. It was an incredible process. And again, I think I underestimated it though in the end.
Yeah. Well, and there's got to be something to, it's like, well, it's on the website, but I could always go back and put a little update or edit or whatever, but this is going on paper. It's like, that's still the fear.
A lot of stress.
Yeah, for sure. That you want it to not have to have an addendum at the end of it or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And so the book came out just, was it early this year or was it more?
It's the end of last year.
End of last year.
November. Okay. Yeah. November.
Yeah.
So it's been, yeah, it's been a wild ride. I think, you know, I've received a lot of great comments. We did find a few typos, but when you have a huge book like that, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But you know, by and large, I think the feedback I've gotten has been, you know, phenomenal. I think people really enjoy the book. And, you know, going back to what we said earlier, there's just something about reading and having a physical, you know, this physical tome in your kitchen that you can bake with and always kind of turn to when you get stuck.
Yeah. I got an email from a friend of mine and a former customer just last week. I'm not making this up. And she was like, I'm reading Maurizio's book and I'm reading the page about hot cross buns because Easter's coming up, and it reminded me of like a hot cross bun story from with them at our bakery, you know, and just wanted to see how you're doing, you know. And it's like, she's talking about an event from 12 years ago, but it's like, I'm reading Maurizio's book, and it's like, it's so awesome that you have it, for one thing. And that might make this connection, you know. And it's like, amazing. And oh, by the way, I'm talking to him next week. Right. But it's like, there's something about that physical artifact, that thing that you can hold on to. It's, I don't know. I would think that it's going to reach a new group of people as well as, you know, fans of yours that want the souvenir too. You know, there's going to be more folks that are sort of like, oh, okay, what's this blog he's talking about? Because isn't it weird though? Like, you know, you can do the thing and you get so popular within the one group, and then you realize nobody knows who you are outside of this group that's super big to us. But it's like, you know,
it's true.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a strange. I think, you know, you've got bread baking as this niche where people are interested in, and then you've got a sub niche where it's like sourdough bread bakers. And then there's like every, you know, every concentric circle therein where you can keep kind of going down. But you're right. It always feels like bakers are in this kind of exclusive club, I feel like. But even though you're in your little bubble, there's still like an adjacent bubble that, you know, you may not have reached before. And you're right. The book has already kind of, you know, brought me new eyes that aren't, let's say they don't spend all day on Instagram, or they don't spend all day on the web, and then they find this book in the bookstore, or, you know, it's recommended by a friend. I think that's really powerful. I think that is another way to, and I saw it, one of the reasons why I did the book is I saw it as another way to help people that are kind of outside of my normal, let's say, day-to-day interaction. So
sure.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. The circles just keep expanding outwards. So
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said about the, you know, the food memory, because that's one of the reasons why I love not only food, of course, but, you know, writing about it, is that you have these memories, you know, oh, I had Mark's hot cross bun 12 years ago. I mean, they're still remembering that to this day. Mm-hmm. Isn't that, I mean, that's a powerful thing. Like you're impacting people, and, you know, you did it directly by actually baking the thing for them. I do it kind of indirectly by giving them the instructions to bake the thing. But still, I think it's a motivator for people that are baking in the kitchen, in a bakery, or, you know, even people like me that just write and take photos of food. I love that. I think it's one of the most satisfying things.
Yeah. I just think it's pure magic how writing something, you know, in your house in New Mexico can get into the hands of somebody in Saskatchewan, you know, 6 months or a year later, that's going to like trigger something to reach out to someone in BC, and, you know, and it's just, writing is so cool. It's because it's like time travel, and and teleportation all in one. So neat.
Absolutely.
So I'm curious, like, sort of what's on the horizon for you? And I hate asking the question. I'm super curious, but it doesn't mean that there has to be a next. Like, honest to God, you've done so much, and you've done this book, and it's like that could also be enough. But it's like, where would you like to kind of go next, or pursue, or dig into next?
Well, I mean, I'll always have, you know, the website, so I'm going to, you know, continually publish. I think it's funny, when I submitted my manuscript and I was, you know, done with the photography, and then finally when the book came out, I suddenly had all this free time. I forgot what it was like to have, you know, time during the day when I wasn't constantly thinking about this book. So now I can, you know, I can pour my efforts back, you know, 100% into my website. So I'm able to publish at a kind of a faster cadence, which I think is great. And the rigors of going through the editing process of the book taught me a lot about how to do that in a better way. So I feel like my writing has improved, you know, even more since doing the book. And there's that. I've been dabbling a little bit on YouTube. So I've been doing some videos there, and I've got some good feedback. It's, again, a whole nother game there with, you know, videography and doing all that kind of stuff yourself. It's extremely difficult. So I've been doing that. And I have a few other projects that I haven't talked about yet publicly, just like I did with my book. I'll be talking about them kind of later this year. And, you know, it's, for me, I've always seen sourdough as, I like to use the Japanese term kaizen, because it really is how I see the craft. It's like, you know, repetitions that you put in, super small improvement every time you do it. But over the long run, it's like those things add up to, you know, I don't want to say mastery, because I definitely don't think I'm a master in the craft, but, you know, just the improvement over time in small increments is really how I see baking. So I'm always trying to improve what I'm doing here in the kitchen. And in doing that, I feel like I have more to help other people that are, you know, along that same path. So, you know, that's always going to keep going. I definitely don't have plans to do another cookbook at the moment. A lot of people were asking, they're like, once you get the first one out, the second one's easier. But yeah,
holidays with Mauricio
Yeah. I feel like it took so much to do the book that I definitely need a little break from that. And I mean, it only came out, what, 5 months ago.
Oh, so yeah.
It's still pretty recent. So I mean, for me, I have one big project coming out later this year. You know, I've got YouTube going on, I've got the website. I just want to keep doing that. My whole goal has always been, there are two goals. One, you know, to help people learn from the things that I'm discovering in the kitchen. And then two, I just want to bake every day. Like, what can I do so that I can go in the kitchen and mix dough every day? And it's a little bit of a selfish thing there, but really that's what brings me the most joy these days, aside from the normal life with family and things. But I just want to make that happen. So, yeah.
Have you ever tried actually like teaching face-to-face, like where you're in the center of the room?
I've done a few. Yeah. I did one in Bellegarde Bakery in New Orleans. It was phenomenal. Like, it was great to... There's really something special about being in the same room with somebody, teaching them a hands-on craft that way, that even writing, you know, can't touch. I think I do want to do more in-person classes. The pandemic, I had plans actually to teach a class with King Arthur, and it got canceled because of the, I mean, it was like right as the pandemic lockdown was happening. So I'd love to revisit that. I think there's something kind of special there, actually meeting people face to face.
Yeah. I was curious about that because you seem to have such a strong community of people that you're engaged with, you know, and I saw even on your website, like you're always replying to comments and stuff. And, you know, I'm like, oh man, I gotta up my game there too. But it's like, but it's just, I was thinking about sort of that connection with the, call them fans or the folks that are following your work or learning from you, you know, sort of how do you connect more with them? But Yeah. I don't want you to tip. If that's where you hit it, don't tip the scales, but I'm just curious because it seems like that might be important or fulfilling for you, I guess, not important, but yeah.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. I think the challenge there is, how do you reach, one class is, you don't want to make the class too big because then it becomes less meaningful. So you got to find the right class size. And then as a parent of two small kiddos here, I only have so much time that I can travel around. So as they get a little older, I see it getting a little bit easier and I can, try to do more of those. But I agree there. I think it would be very, very fulfilling on my end.
Yeah. And are you still doing the software as well?
I'm doing some, not as much as I did. I think, during the pandemic, I think I reduced my work there significantly because I was so focused on the bread side because there was so much attention coming in on that side. Thankfully, the products that we've made on in my software business are really mature and they can kind of just hang out where they are. So that's great. The unfortunate thing is I feel like software development and, handling dough and bread baking are kind of like learning a language where if you don't use the language, you start to lose the skills a little bit.
Yeah.
This is why a lot of the kind of stereotype is that a lot of software engineers, when they get out of college, they start working and then eventually they go into management and then they stop actually writing the code that they were working on. Because it's hard to keep up if you're not constantly on it. So I try to dip in when I can to keep those skills kind of fresh, but definitely not. I'd say more of my time now is on the bread side, which is, I love engineering. I love software development. There's a creative side to that that is hard to do in any other way. You probably know that. But I think my heart really is in dough.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Yeah. Yeah. I find the tech and software game very seductive, but it doesn't take too long before you're right up 100% in your head again. And you realize you've been sitting in that chair drooling for a long time. It's like trying to start working through a problem. And it's like,
absolutely.
Okay. I just got to get in the kitchen and do something, I got to mix something here, get my head out of it.
You can't replace working with your hands, whether it's, baking, a woodworker, doing yard work, whatever it is. I mean, our bodies really need that kind of physical interaction.
Big time, big time. I learned it twice, right? Like, cause my first career was in, I did the software, then get into management and then move on from there and lose all the skills that you once had, gain others, I guess. But then through the pandemic was the same thing where I was just like, well, I was doing all of my work online and not leaving the house and just realized this is trouble, it's real trouble here. And so I got back to actually like standing at the bench doing some handwork every morning. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm a different person again. Back to that balance, and I can come in the afternoon and do my thinking stuff. But
it's a good balance.
Oh yeah.
It's a good balance.
Oh yeah.
And I think, you mentioned the kind of meditative work with baking. And I've spoken to a lot of bakers who work in professional bakeries, and that's one of the things that I can see, like I could see this happening to me, because I know when I used to play soccer, when I'd go out on the soccer field, when the conditions were right, you'd enter into the zone or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And you would stop thinking really. And it was like, your body is just playing the game and you're almost like in this third person mode. And I've talked to bakers and they say the same thing when they're at the bench and they're shaping and working with dough with other bakers, you're just in this like flow.
Yeah.
Kind of steel.
Yeah.
I've never done that in a bakery, but I can say the short snippets when I'm here dividing a lot of dough and doing a lot of repetitive, you enter into that.
Oh yeah.
And it's like your proficiency even kind of increases.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm mixing a lot of scones lately, at the coffee shop where I'm working. And, it's like when you get into it, you just realize it's like, oh, I'm done. The bowl's empty. I've got two pans of scones here and they're all perfect,
right.
And it's like, and if I'm aware of what I'm doing. It takes me twice as long, and they're sure is not all perfect. I'm like swearing at about two-thirds of them, you know? And so it's right. just, yeah, it's the best feeling when it hits, you know? And it's,
I love it.
I'd still be happier if it was a tub of dough and I'm just like bang, 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 cut in shape, but yeah. It works. It's transferable. It transfers to cookies as well, I've learned.
That's great. Yeah. I feel like humans, we get into that kind of zone when we're doing the thing mm-hmm. we want to do, and you can let your crazy mind, which I feel like you can do that too when you're doing the software, but it's harder for me to get into that unless I'm actually doing something physical and my hands are moving. And it goes back to, I think, me playing soccer, and I was a huge soccer player, and that was something that I experienced when I was playing my best games, is when I was able to kind of get in that mindset.
Yeah. Right on. Well, it's been really great talking to you, Maurizio. It's been so nice to meet you finally and see your face and hear your voice and all of that. Yeah.
Like the last step is we need to divide some dough and do some baking.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll practice a bit and then we'll get down there.
Absolutely.
Well, cause you live in an area of the world that I really want to see as well. So, my dream cross country trip where I stop and visit all the people that I've talked to so far, is going to take a southern swing now. So,
great. Well, I just got a new bread oven here in my garage.
Oh, do you really?
I got one of those, the Rackmaster 2020, bigger, fantastic oven. Totally overkill for me here baking, but the crazy baker in me is just super excited. So I've been, kind of building out my dream is to build this kind of detached building here in my house where I can put all my baking equipment and have it temperature controlled and be able to go in there and do that. So maybe by the time you come down, I'll have that set up.
Pure heaven. Do it for sure. Honestly, I had my own little rudimentary setup in my garage that was so amazing for me. And then I've since met folks that have done sort of what you described, whether it's, the attached garage or the detached one, or I, just talked to Tom Giancola, who did it in his basement His basement looks as nice as my bakery did, it's just like, oh my God,
that's great.
And, but it's that ability to just pop downstairs or just out in the backyard or the side yard or whatever and do your work. It's the wood shop. It's the artist studio. Yes. It's the baker studio. And the best thing is all your neighbors will come by because they'll know you can't eat it all.
Right. they'll pop in. Is bread ready today?
Yeah.
Cause I already get the requests, but I love it cause I'm baking more than I can, even my family can eat. So
yeah,
it's usually like knocking on my neighbor's door or my wife's coworkers or anybody who will take it.
Awesome. Well, that's great. I'm glad you shared that because, I'm excited for what you're building out there. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me on. And I'm marking it as a milestone that I'm finally on Rise Up. So I love it. So I appreciate it, Mark.
Right on. Thanks. Yowza. That was fun. Oh my gosh. We recorded this in late April. And so it's been a while since we had the conversation. And when I was back listening to it, as I was editing the show today, I was just loving it again. Oh my gosh. What an amazing guy. What a thoughtful person. What a craftsman, really, in so many ways, as a baker and as a writer and as a photographer. A real kindred spirit from my perspective. It's like we click, we have so many things in common. And, One day, I'll feel like what I'm doing is as good as what he's doing, but we're not there yet. I just love his stuff so much, which is actually interesting. A note when I was writing stuff down, when I was listening to the talk again, I made this note about this thread of comparison. How can a person like Maurizio inspire us to do great things? as opposed to have a shrink back, right? Because if I, when I'm trying so much to use what he does as inspiration to make the podcast better and not just throw up my hands and say, oh my God, I'll never do it as good as he's doing it. So I better just stop, you know? And I think that's his gift, right? You know, he has helped so many bakers over the years, professional bakers and home bakers, right? Through his blog and now through the cookbook. And I think he really does it in a way that is inspiring other people to push on and improve their craft and do more, as opposed to, you know, just throwing up their hands and walking down to the bakery and buying a loaf of bread. They're trying it on their own. And so good for him. And I love the part when we were talking about how even after 10 years of blogging on a very regular basis, he's still nowhere near running out of things to talk about and ideas to share and things to expand upon. And that's another parallel with the podcast. You know, this is going to be episode 189 of the podcast. I haven't even scratched the surface of all the folks that I could talk to for the show, which is so cool to me. Like, it just, the more conversations you have, the more you want to have new conversations and additional conversations. So I'm already excited for the show that I'm sharing with you today. I can't wait to hear what you think about it. Can't wait to hear how Maurizio's story might have inspired you to do something. But I also can't wait for the show I'm going to share with you next week, because there's another one coming right away here. Until then, please work hard, bake lots, but stay healthy, stay safe, stay cool. If you're dealing with smoke, keep your lungs clear, please. Happy baking. Bye-bye.